Hello, and welcome to part two in a series of recordings that I am calling Mind Prep. Today, you may call me Professor Mutt. In this series, we will prepare your mind with new skills and adjustments that make it easier for you to get totally mind-fucked. Whether you are new to hypnosis or a long-time mindless subject, I think you will learn something new. The full list of suggestions is in the description, as always. The goal is to create empowered subjects with enough agency over their minds that they can safely give control over to another person in further and deeper ways than they could before. If you have not already listened to part one, titled Turning Off, then I would highly recommend you stop this recording and go back to listen to part one, as today's lesson will be building on the materials we covered before. For now, since this is about hypnosis, let us begin by hypnotizing you. The process is as easy as always. Simply focus, listen, and follow along. That's right. Let yourself relax and nestle into our little conversation. Make yourself cozy, shut off outside distractions, and just focus, listen, and follow along. Take a nice, slow, gentle breath in. Good. Now let it go. Just keep breathing slowly and gently now. And as we live our lives, there are many teachers we encounter. And when you meet a teacher who is very wise and who taught you an important lesson, then you know it would be very wise to listen to that teacher again, to simply focus, listen, and follow along with the lesson, looking forward to learning more about science, society, sex, sensuality, submission, and quite a bit about yourself and your mind. If you make the wise decision to, once again, focus, listen, and follow along. Letting yourself sink back down into a receptive trance, ready for learning. And you may recall my teacher, who taught me to hypnotize someone with no words at all. And you may recall how he had me do all sorts of strange and unusual exercises that didn't seem to have anything to do with hypnosis. Another exercise from that very same day involved the students working in pairs. The students would hold hands, with one student leading the other. The student being led chose a place in the room and would try to allow themselves to be passively led to that location, without speaking a single word or telling the partner where they were going. When our teacher told us this exercise, we thought it would be impossible. He seemed to be expecting us to use telepathy, and yet, by the end of the exercise, all of us had found the places our partners were leading us to. This exercise taught us to read the intention of our partners. And when two people go ballroom dancing, there is a leader and a follower, and the leader guides the follower to where they want to go, and adds flourishes and twirls to the dance, and the follower picks up on the intent of their lead and moves their body to follow along. Most of the time, all the leader has to do is lift the arm of the follower and the follower is the one who completes the twirl. And when two people dance together, they learn all the small little signals that tell them what part comes next and where their partner wants them to go. This is called building rapport, and it allows the dancers to know the intent of their partner and to choose to focus, listen to the signals, and follow along. And sometimes a hypnotist shifts the tone of their voice, and you immediately know that it is time to focus, listen, and follow along, sinking into a deep trance. Because that shift in the tone of their voice communicates the intention to hypnotize you. And you already know how to complete the next part of that dance. And sometimes you find yourself in a long, boring meeting, and you find yourself in a daze, spacing out, with your mind wandering. And the facilitator tells you to assume best intentions, meaning that when someone in the meeting says something, you should choose to interpret their words as if they only mean well, and assume that nobody in the meeting is trying to be cruel or malicious. And sometimes, when you're reading a book, you notice a typo that changes the meaning of a sentence, but you can tell from context how the sentence was supposed to be written, so you still understand the book and can just keep reading along anyway. Your mind makes an automatic mental adjustment to what it knows the sentence is supposed to be. It's something everyone's mind does, and that's how typos make it to print in the first place. In the end, everything is okay, and everyone understands the intent of the author telling the story. And the wise sages of Yavna were famous for finding ways to reinterpret the law in order to find loopholes and interpretations which permitted people to do what the sages knew to be necessary, while still following the rules. It is because of how they reinterpreted the law that today we see the sages of Yavna as being very wise. And hypnosis is like dancing. Without the full participation of both subject and hypnotist, there would be no hypnosis. The relationship, the rapport between the two, is what powers the hypnosis. The subject understands the intent of the hypnotist and listens and follows along. With all language, understanding is a process of interpretation, and the same goes for hypnotic suggestions. Your unconscious mind hears a suggestion and interprets what it thinks is the next part of the dance accordingly. And as you recall, your unconscious mind is as much who you are as your conscious mind. You can consciously choose to interpret things one way or another, and you can unconsciously choose to interpret things one way or another. And you can assume that any hypnotist who you trust enough to give control of your mind is someone who you can trust would never intend to hurt you. If you trust someone enough to hypnotize you, then you can trust that they would never want to cross your boundaries, violate your consent, put you in danger, or cause you any kind of displeasure. So if a hypnotist ever gave you a suggestion that, at first, seems like it would hurt you or cross your boundaries, put you in danger, or cause you displeasure, your unconscious mind can find ways to reinterpret that suggestion and find a better meaning. Your unconscious mind can find a way to follow the suggestion which remains within your boundaries, within your negotiated consent, and within your level of comfort. Your unconscious mind can find ways to interpret suggestions so that they are always safe and pleasurable for you, because your hypnotist's intention is always for both of you to enjoy the dance, by some definition of enjoyment. Sometimes the leader in the dance initiates a flourish that might injure the follower, and when the leader lifts the arm of the follower lowers their arm and continues the dance without completing the twirl that they knew in that moment wasn't safe. And both the leader and the follower know that this is perfectly, wonderfully okay and good to do. And in our last session, you learned how you can turn suggestions on or off anytime you want without needing the permission of the hypnotist. And today, you are learning that, like the wise sages of Yavna, you can modify any suggestions you've received to make them better suit your pleasure. You know that if a hypnotist suggests that an effect is always active, that they clearly did not intend for the suggestion to interfere with your ability to work or take care of your body or do other necessary things. So your unconscious mind can reinterpret and modify that suggestion to be only active when safe, appropriate, and fun. And you know that if a hypnotist suggests that you respond to a particular word any time it is said, that what they really mean is that they will use that word to communicate the intention to activate that suggestion. And like the follower in a dance, you can read the intentions of the speaker and know whether they intend to activate that suggestion or not. And you know that you can always ask a hypnotist for clarification if the intent is unclear, whether by using a safe word or simply by speaking up in trance. Good hypnotists always appreciate active and collaborative subjects who work with them to enable their total and absolute submission to control. And the way my teacher taught us to hypnotize, without saying a single word at all, was that all we had to do was communicate the intention to hypnotize, and the subject's mind would do the rest, just like ballroom dance. And if the way you are already following suggestion is causing you displeasure, you can always, in that moment, modify the suggestion in your own mind to fix the issue. You can do it so seamlessly, like how your eyes skim over the typo in a book. You know that it's okay to do. It's not disobedient. It's not making you a bad subject. It makes you a very good subject, because the hypnotist would not want the suggestion to be causing you displeasure or pain, unless that's the point. And you would know if it was the point. And this makes hypnosis more fun and pleasurable. Having the agency to interpret suggestions in the best way possible allows you to experiment with more ambiguous and open commands, and it allows you to try things you might not have tried if you thought your mind was only being programmed in one direction from the hypnotist to the subject, like a computer blindly following orders even when it causes the program to crash. Experienced dancers who allow the follower to interpret the intention of the leader are capable of performing far more elaborate and beautiful dances. When you see a couple doing elaborate dips, lifts, and twirls, it is because of the agency and collaboration of the follower with the leader, even if it appears like the leader is completely in control. The same goes for hypnosis. When you see a hypnotist and a subject who are enacting elaborate brainwashing and complicated suggestions, they are able to do so because of the subject's ability to interpret the hypnotist safely and assume the best intentions. Like our last lesson, you know that this is not really a hypnotic suggestion, but rather the way the hypnosis has always worked all along, and the way that your mind has always functioned. You just might only be learning about it today. And some students take notes during a lecture, while others let it simply sink into their unconscious mind, trusting that anything important will be sure to stick. And some say the note-takers are the wiser ones, and others say the note-taking distracts from the lesson. And you know the notes for this lesson are all available in the description box, and that means you have the best of both worlds, the conscious and the unconscious methods of learning. And your conscious mind can absorb and remember the lessons I taught your conscious mind. And your unconscious mind can absorb and remember the lessons I taught your unconscious mind. And you trust your unconscious mind can do a very good job of working with me in the future, such as when I tell you to focus, listen, and follow along in one of these recordings. And at the end of class, all of the students grab their bags and file out of the room, because the professor signaled that the class has ended, and the students all understood, even if the professor never actually said it explicitly. And you can find yourself drifting back up to the surface, fully coming back out of trance, looking forward to whatever you will learn in the next lesson, knowing that the more you learn about hypnosis and your unconscious mind, the more powerful of a hypnotic subject you will be. The more powerful you can experience suggestions when you have no reason not to fully embrace them, since they only happen so long as you allow them, and you can always change them later. Surfacing now, waking up, with 1, becoming aware of the room around you, 2, becoming aware of your body, 3, thinking your own thoughts again, 4, moving your body, and 5, wide awake, wide awake. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. In our next class, we'll be discussing the topic of the muscle that is submission. I hope you'll return to listen again. In part 3, all of my content can be found on my co-host blog as Mutt, M-U-T-T, or on my Soundgasm as Mutt Hypno, or even on Warp My Mind as Jackal Mutt, which perhaps is a good place to find ambiguous, poorly crafted suggestions that you can reinterpret to be more fun. Always good to do your homework. Goodbye.